This is chapel service for December 1st, 1961. The Student Coordinating Council is in charge of today's chapel. Jim Baucom is bringing the message.
Let us together open ourselves to God in prayer. Our Father, we are grateful to Thee for glimpses of Thyself that Thou art revealing to us. We are grateful for Thy guidance and Thy power in the affairs of our everyday lives. We thank Thee for the opportunity of study which enables us better to express to others the faith which we have in Thee. Forgive us, our Father, for our often neglect of Thee, particularly as we do not have time for prayer. Forgive us for allowing everything else to come before a time of prayer, for letting conversation with friends come before waiting on Thee, for letting our needs, little or big, cause us to get so busy that we never get around to waiting for Thy Spirit, that Thou might come to us. Forgive us also, our Father, for being insensitive to the needs of our friends, whether roommate, dormitory friend, wife, children, or parents. Make us more sensitive to the needs of the people with whom we live each day. Cause us to become more aware of the importance of waiting each day upon Thee, of acting as if we believe that Thou art a living God, and attempting to let Thee come to us in power that directs our lives. We pray, our Father, that Thou wilt burden us and free us with the power of Thy Word to men of our day. Cause us to be an expression of Thy love and Thy power in the lives and the history of men near us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today we live in an age of great religiosity. Unlike any other times, perhaps, we're facing in the American culture a time of being popular, being a Christian. We find ourselves participating in the institutional side of religion. We find people concerned about what the church is doing. And yet, almost paradoxically, at the same time, we find secularism rampant in our society. Why? Why, if honestly we are a religious nation, which I doubt that we are, but if we pretend to be religious, why the secularism of our society? We look at our society today and we find a great secular society. We find a great segmented society. We find a society of specialization. Specialization to the extent that even we as ministers very often have become professional religionists. Specialization to the extent that one individual is only prepared for one phase of life and fails to find that religion permeates through all of life. We find in our segmented society segmented lives, as we ourselves, even as ministers of the gospel, are guilty of pigeonholing every facet of our life, as we as Christians find ourselves guilty of separating religion from life, of finding for religion a separate pigeonhole. For religion very often is only a Sunday affair. Religion for us is not something which completely dominates our life. Entirely too often we find that religion has become only a set of rules, a set of do's and don'ts, and so we find ourselves seeping into moralisms and fail to find a deep confrontation with Christ. Yes, and even in the segmented society which we find ourselves in today, the man is torn between himself and his various responsibilities. He finds himself adhering to the church and yet fails to find anything deeper than the institutional side of religion. And so religion remains in the church. Religion sinks into the depths of mere ritual. Worship, prayer, becomes only a recitation of terms which we have heretofore memorized. And strangely enough, as prayer utters from our lips, we find that it is only a collection of words, perhaps words which are not even ours, and we never speak to Christ. And worst, we never listen to Christ. Religion, then, in our age, remains in the form of the abstract. It remains nothing more than a subject for bull sessions. Oh, we talk a great deal about religion. Even as ministers, we talk about religion. And yet so often, religion is nothing more than a test tube. Religion is nothing more than a philosophical inquiry that we are concerned about. So, as we talk to the college student today, as we talk to the seminary student, constantly we find, I'm interested in religion only from the standpoint of the philosophical side of religion. And even in our seminary, as we study so diligently, supposedly, on the forms of religion and try to understand, we find ourselves taking so glibly our beliefs. We find ourselves on the seminary campus so often being far more sacrilegious than we would even dream of our laity being. Why? Because perhaps religion has lost its depth and its meaning for us. Religion is on the mind, religion is on the tongue, but religion, Christianity, has failed to captivate the very innermost being of our spirits. And so we find ourselves as spokesmen for Christ, but rarely do we find really a completely dedicated person speaking for Christ. Indeed, we even realize that ours is a convenience religion, that very often it's the popular thing to be a part of the church, that it's even good business to be a part of the church. And so we sink into the depths of secularizing our religion, of bringing Christianity to merely be a tool which we twist and turn to be of our own use. We fail to find the meaning of commitment. I guess really that only in illustration can we completely communicate religion. Can we completely communicate true commitment? There was a number of girls, two girls, making mud pies one time right below the window in my father's study. As they were making mud pies, they were overheard having conversation, having a tremendous time, and all of a sudden the conversation stopped and one of the little girls said, "Uh-oh, here comes Mary. I don't like Mary." I said, let's not play with Mary. Mary came walking up and said, "Hello, could I play with you?" The two little girls were so busy they weren't even aware of poor little Mary's presence. Again, Mary said, could I play with you? No response. So busy making those luscious mud pies, no time for response to Mary. Again, Mary said, "Could I play with you?" Again, no response. Finally, as any sensible being, no matter how young, she shrugged her shoulders and Mary walked off. A few moments later, the two little girls were overheard to say, "Hey, look, here comes Jane. I like Jane. Let's play with Jane." And so even before Jane had come into earshot, all the way across the large lawn, they hollered, "Hey, Jane, come over and play with us." Jane ambled up, said, "What you doing? We're making mud pies and we're having the best time. Come on, play with us." "I don't want to make mud pies. Here I got my new dress on and I've got my new dolly and I'm just not interested in making mud pies." "That's all right. We'll play what you want to play." And so the three girls went happily off together. How can we help but see the sharp contrast between total acceptance and total rejection? Were we to apply it to our own lives, probably we would have to create another person right in the middle of these two. We'll call this one Susie. As long as Susie wanted to make mud pies, it was perfectly acceptable for her to play with them. But if Susie did not want to make mud pies, she'd have to go elsewhere and peddle her ware. So we are with God. As so often, we ourselves channel God as best we can to our own use. As so often, we ourselves must fit God into our own concepts. We fail to realize that only true acceptance can come if we're willing to alter the plan of life, the game of life, in order to serve Him. And this is true acceptance. This is what God calls for. Elton Trueblood defines commitment as acceptance of convictions, not merely by intellectual assent, but by a full action of the will. Paul says, "Forgetting what lies behind me, I strain forward to the mark of the high calling of God." As David Alexander says, "This is the paradox of the Christian life, to find life by losing it, to save life by throwing it away, to come alive through death, to find freedom in bondage." So true, religion permeates through one's entire life. Khalil Gibran, in his little book, The Prophet, deals with a visit by a mystic. And as he speaks of this mystic, people are conversing with the mystic about various phases of life, about love and children and family, and on it goes. And finally, an old priest said, "Speak to us of religion." And the mystic said, "Have I spoken this day of aught else? Is not religion all deeds and all reflection, and that which is neither deed nor reflection, but a wonder and a surprise ever springing in the soul, even while the hands hew the stone or tend the loom? Who can separate his faith from his actions, or his belief from his occupations? And who can spread his hours before him, saying, 'This for God and this for myself, this for my soul, and this other for my body'? All your hours are wings that beat through space from self to self. He who bears his morality but as his best garment were better naked. The wind and the sun will tear no holes in his skin. And he who defines his conduct by ethics imprisons his songbird in a cage. The freest song comes not through bars and wires, but he to whom worshiping is a window to open but also to shut, has not yet visited the house of his soul whose windows are from dawn to dawn. Your daily life is your temple and your religion. Whenever you enter into it, take with you your all. Take the plow and the forge and the mallet and the lute, the things you have fashioned in necessity or for delight. For in reverie you cannot rise above your achievements nor fall lower than your failures. And take with you all men. For in adoration you cannot fly higher than your hopes nor humble yourself lower than your despair. And if you would know God, be not therefore merely a solver of riddles. Rather, look about you, and you shall see God. Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new is come. Let us pray. Help us, our Father, to realize that the meaning of commitment requires that we give of our very best, that we give of our very selves to Thee. May we truly accept Thee with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, that we might truly become instruments of Thy peace and of Thy will. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.